Amen. Our final scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3. And you can find this on page 1438. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give to you. So Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. It did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. We finally get to the point where we can talk about why Jonah hated the Ninevites. First sermon of this series, Chris Werling was here, and he came up to me after church, and he's like, Pastor Rob, I would have hated the Assyrians too. Thanks, Chris. But honestly, Jonah's hatred for the Ninevites does not come from nowhere. The Ninevites, or the Assyrians, because I'm going to have to address them like that a couple times, they're violent. They attacked the Israelites. They are the enemy. If you know your Isaiah, the Assyrians come and they drive the kingdom. I just had a brain fart, so I can't remember which kingdom, but one of the kingdoms into exile. Hal's going to correct me after church, I know. So it's like, I'm not going to say the wrong one, I'll just claim stupidity. But drove one of the kingdoms into exile. These are the enemies. Jonah's anger and fear of them makes complete sense, 100%. They attacked. Now God allowed them to attack as a punishment for what the Israelites were doing, for their lack of faith, for their abandoning God. But to Jonah, they're just the enemy, the ones that came and took over. They're just the bringers of death and pain. So of course he fears them. Of course he's angry at them. Of course he wants to revel in their pain and destruction. He wants fire and brimstone to rain down from heaven. He wants to see them suffer. 40 days, and then he wants them to know they're going to die, and then he wants to watch them die. Makes sense. We would question Jonah's honesty if he wanted anything but. But the part that Jonah got wrong here, so I'm not going to condemn Jonah for his anger. I'm going to question Jonah's fear, but I'm not going to condemn him for that either. part he got wrong was looking at these people as subhuman, as garbage, as less than, as being able to celebrate their death because they're nothing. Who cares about these people? They are left. God should stomp them under God's foot. That's what should happen. That's right and just. We should celebrate that death and that pain. That's where Jonah's at. I very vividly remember September 11th, 2001. Very vividly. It's one of those events. People say the same thing about Kennedy's assassination and other events. I remember that day vividly. I had to get on the bus where I lived to ride to my high school in the next town over. And when I got there, so I was at the middle school, and they were talking about it kind of quietly. Didn't quite catch all of it, but something was happening. Then I get to the high school, and we did nothing else that day. We watched CNN all day long. It's all that we did. Every class had a TV on. It was on CNN or NBC or ABC. Someone showing the news. I remember, I think I was in the art room, maybe the choir room, when the towers fell. We were watching it. And I remember something was different. Something was different. I remember just that feeling that something had changed. I couldn't put my finger on it. I was 14 years old. An angry 14-year-old at that. I couldn't put my finger on it. I knew something had changed. I remember watching the news when we got home. I remember driving to the next town over to get in line to get gas because gas prices had already gone up and we were afraid that they were going to run out of gas and we weren't really going to be able to get gas. So we'd make sure all of our vehicles were full. And I remember the days after and the fear, the hatred that came out. I remember it all so vividly. Something changed. Our culture changed. There was a shift. I remember listening to a comedian, and I can't remember who it was, so I'm not going to say a name who I think it was, but they were talking about how racial tensions in the United States were just going to end because we had a new group to hate. Blacks, whites, Latin Americans, Asians, we were all going to get together again because we had a new group to focus all of our hate on. I remember listening to the news and pundits being like celebrating war. Because, again, somebody attacked us. We had every right to be afraid. We had every right to be angry. Our safety was stolen from us that day. We were found to be vulnerable in an area that we didn't know we were vulnerable in. We had every right to be angry and fearful. But then it became, we need to attack those evil Muslims. We need to bomb their countries. We hate them. And our hatred is justified, and we should celebrate. Celebrate the death and destruction that's going to come to our enemies. And that continued for years. I remember, vividly remember, anyone who dissented, who thought that maybe the celebration of war and this desire for war wasn't good. They were chastised as evil, un-Christian, un-American. And I did it too. I was 14, 15, 16 years old in there. And even 17 and 18 into college, I was there too. We were ready to kill those that we hated, even if it meant the destruction of so many more innocent lives. And we were willing to hate those innocent lives, too, because they were connected to this other group. They were less than human to us. And it still happens. It's still, like, it's something we haven't given up. If, just for example, if somebody who's white grows a beard and they happen to look partially, slightly Middle Eastern, it's not that they look Middle Eastern, it's that they look like a terrorist. We make jokes about it, we laugh, it makes us feel good. Even though we are saying that an entire race of people, an entire group of people from a country, and those that look like them are terrorists. That's okay to us. I still hear it in our politics. The first, and I'm going to try very carefully to not come out in any particular way, but I can only balance this. The first travel ban of Muslim nations included the nation of Sudan. That ban would have prevented women and men like Reverend Ekrem Kachu from Sudan from coming over. You know Reverend Kachu from the closing worship of General Assembly. She gave the closing address. I know her as somebody that I went to seminary with. I know her as somebody who's, during her first year of seminary, her brother was killed in the Darfur region. I know her as somebody who cannot return to her homeland that she still loves, by the way, because she has to protect her children. She cannot return because of their safety. We have a long history in the United States of this creating an enemy and hating them, treating them as less than human. I can go to the internment camps. I can go to slavery. We have this mentality in the United States of the other and hating them and the enemy. And when you're angry and fearful for good reason, when you have reason to be angry and fearful, that hate just comes right in and it takes that wound that was made and it latches on. If you say that you don't understand why Jonah went the other direction, if you say you don't understand why Jonah got on that boat, if you say you don't understand, maybe you don't fully agree with him deciding death was better than going to Nineveh, but if you don't understand it, you're lying to yourself. We get it. We are programmed to hate. And we have to make conscious, active decisions to do otherwise. We know where Jonah's at when the whale, or the great fish, spits him up on the land. And then God is like, again, hey, Jonah, same thing. Go to Nineveh. Do your thing. And Jonah's like, fine. So Jonah goes to Nineveh. And again, he still hates the Ninevites. He's grumpy and angry. He's willing to do it. He made that promise to God, like it said last week. He's like, yeah, sure. Hey, you saved me. I'll do this. And so he goes to Nineveh, and he does his job, and he goes, and he does one day, and he goes and preaches, and he is like, you all are condemned. There's nothing you can do to save yourselves. And he feels good about that message. He loves that message. That's the message he wants to give them. He wants that message to be true. He wants that message to be absolutely true, that God has condemned them, and there is no room for salvation. But then the Ninevites, receiving a message that God was mad, turned away. They repented. They sat in ash and sackcloth. They fasted. They asked God for healing and just for salvation. They didn't deserve it. The king's like, hey, maybe. Like, I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to try because this is what we have left. And it does. The God, that Jonah knew at the beginning he had absolute faith in, the God that allowed that sent the great fish to swallow him so he didn't die in the Mediterranean Sea, the God that had that fish spit him out on dry land, the God that had shown Jonah mercy, also showed these people that Jonah hated mercy. That's the story, and we get it. We understand that story, but we don't like it because God tells us to do things for people that we hate, to share love, to share the message with people that look and act differently than us, that might worship a God that happens to be the God that people that have hurt us claim to worship, and so we have been programmed to fear them and hate them. God, Scripture's pretty stinking clear that we're supposed to take the message to the whole of creation and love all of creation and stop hating. Now, it's going to be a couple weeks before I talk to you about Jonah's temper tantrum and a couple things that are going to interrupt my series. But the message today is so simple, and it's really difficult to swallow. We just need to stop hating. Stop this blind hatred of people. Stop allowing fear and anger to cause us to do anything but love any of God's children. We should be celebrating the opportunity to go to Nineveh and celebrating that they turned away, celebrating them coming back to God, not having a temper tantrum. Give up your hate. I'm not saying give up your anger. We can't give up our anger. Anger just happens. I'm not saying we can give up our fear. We need to work on it, but we can't always give up our fear. But we don't have to hate. There's nothing in us biologically that makes us have to hate anyone. Give up your hate. Walk towards that love that Christ commands us to. Even if it's difficult, even if you're scared, even if the person looks like somebody that might have hurt you or us in the past, give up your hate and go towards love.